That out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We're covering some really important topics today during the first half hour. My co-host, who's becoming very popular on this show, Dr. Jeff Galini, will be talking about the realities of being a hard gainer. Are you somebody who claims to be a hard gainer? We're going to find out what you need to do. Then, during the bottom of the first hour, we'll be joined by by Wendy McPhail, who is a clinical nutritionist and also chapter head of Weston A. Price Foundation. She heard me talking about fungal infections and Diflucan, and she sent me an email and she said, no, don't tell people to take Diflucan. It's harmful to the liver and there's lots of better ways to handle it. So we're going to get her opinion and point of view on something that I think is really in full effect in the population today. Just want to mention two things real quick, and that is that Thrive Advance is available in the UK at Predator Nutrition. Go to predatornutrition.com, UK, EU, and Canada. That's where you need to go to buy your Thrive Advance protein. Also, don't forget about purchasepeptides.net, 30% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Doesn't get better than that. So check them out. Show them some love.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Dr. J.
Hey, Carl, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a hard gainer, Dr. J.
You're a hard gainer?
I'm a hard gainer. Yeah, I've been reading articles about hard gainers since I found physical culture. And someone always, it's almost like, you know how some people go, oh, it's not your fault that you're fat.
Right.
No, it is your fault that you're fat. There's no fat people in prisoner of war camps because they don't feed them enough to get fat. And if there was really a genetic phenotype, that no matter what they did, they got fatter and fatter, we would have saw like at least one or two fat people in prisoner of war camps, and people would have been like, man, I can't believe it. Joe doesn't eat anything and he's 300 pounds. No, it doesn't happen. And the flip side of that is the hard gainer, isn't it?
It is. You know, my friend David Paul, who long time, the Barbarian Brothers, people who were around back in the 80s, he used to say, there is no such thing as overtraining and non-responders or hard gainers. It only comes down to having a weak mind and under-eating.
Yeah, and I really like that. I actually believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So talk about it. So you've had to have people come to you in your professional career as a bodybuilder and say, you know, no matter what I do, I just can't put on any muscle.
You know, I have heard from thousands of people, and like you said, it goes both ways. You know, I can't lose weight, I can't gain muscle, and the people that come and say, you know, I have a problem, I'm a non-responder, I don't respond to this, I can't gain weight, I have a fast metabolism, the first thing I say is, are you eating enough? And they go, oh yeah, I mean, I'm eating like 10,000 20,000 calories a day. Really? So I'll say, chart your food for me for a week. And they'll be like, what do you mean? I said, yeah, chart your food, what time of day you ate, and approximately how much you ate. And when I get those sheets, I'm like, dude, you're barely taking in 1,600 calories.
I was just going to say 1,600. I got to tell you, of all the people over the years that I've looked at their diets, their impression is that they're eating 5,000 calories a day. But when you look at it, they're eating around 1,600 calories a day.
Yeah. And, you know, what happens is, when you decrease your caloric intake like that for a long period of time, your metabolism will slow down. You know, your body doesn't like to lose weight. You know, you can put it into the opposite where, you know, you literally can eat hardly any and not gain weight or lose weight. And that's what these people are, you know, is their diet is their big issue. But even a bigger problem, like my brother friend David used to say, a weak mind. Now, you know, that's just kind of how he was, but it's more from the fact that you don't have any goals, you know. You can't go into the gym and tell me that you can't grow, and I'm watching you on your cell phone, you're texting, you're walking around. I mean, you aren't training, man. You know, I mean, so these people don't know how to train properly. They don't know how to eat properly. They don't know how to supplement properly. They don't have any goals, and they don't have the proper frame of mind, and they just don't have the passion, the intestinal fortitude to do what I have done and tons of others. It was interesting. I got an email this morning from a guy, and this is kind of along the same same thing. He said, what is it with bodybuilders in the off season? There's no way they eat clean all year round because I see too many of them that are fat. And I had to go back to the guy. I said, well, you ain't looking at the ones that are good. I said, I never got fat in the off season. I said, you know, again, you got to have goals. You got to have passion, man. And if this is your sport, you got to live it year round. You know, bodybuilding, fitness, I mean, there is no off season anymore. You know, if you're a professional baseball player, basketball, you know, football, you may take a break from competition, but there's no such thing as an off season. I mean, you got to be on all the time or someone else is going to outgrow you, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, Rob Regish and I were just talking about this yesterday in the Blueprint Tip of the Day, and we were talking about success in training. I said the big problem is that people aren't consistent. You look at a bodybuilder, he has done the same things for 10 years. Most people can't do it for 16 weeks. And here's a guy, and I don't care if they talk about drugs either, Dr. J. He's done his drugs for 10 years. There are people out there that they, at every opportunity, they make a left turn on their program. Oh, well, I got to go out with my girlfriend. This, you know, I got to part. No, you don't have to. Where's your priorities?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, and if you're the person that, you know, you just want to be in shape, you want to look good for going out on the weekend, that's great, man. That's a goal. But if you are trying to be an athlete, and again, I don't care what sport it is, and you tell me you can't gain weight, I can guarantee you that you are under eating.
Yeah.
But don't be the guy or the gal that I see on Monday morning and you're dragging in the gym and you go, oh, man, I drag too much again on the weekend.
Right.
You know, every weekend you're out drinking. You're not eating. I mean, how are you going to grow? I mean, again, it depends on what your goals are. You know, if you want to be the best, then, you know, you're going to have to outdo the best. If you just want to be halfway, that's fine. But don't say you can't grow and don't moan about, well, I could be like you if I took steroids. No, you could not.
I know a lot of people, myself included. You know, I tend to go up and down with my HRT. I know a lot of people that are doing a gram a week of testosterone. They don't look like bodybuilders because the drugs don't make you look good.
No.
The drugs just make you recover faster. So you have to do the work and eat right.
But, you know, that's an excuse. I mean, again, that's a reason for me to justify why I lost or I'm not as good as someone else. You know, just be honest. I mean, again, there's no such thing as I have bad genetics. That's why I can't. No, it isn't. You just aren't working as hard. When I played football, when I played basketball, no one outworked me. Now, you know, I wasn't like some of the guys that, you know, played all the peewee sports. I got into it in seventh grade. But, you know, I worked hard, man. My dad taught me that if you're going to do something, give it your best. You know, you may not be the best, but that isn't what counts. It's the fact that you gave yourself the best. I never went home from a competition, whether it was bodybuilding or any other sport, feeling bad if we lost, if I did my best. But if I didn't play well or perform well and it was my fault, then I felt terrible. I had to do something about it, you know. And it's the same with growing, you know. I mean, if you're comparing yourself to someone in the gym, don't do that, you know. Compare yourself with yourself. You know, those guys have been working out for years. I remember when I was bodybuilding and I was at my peak, you know, people would come up and say, oh, man, how can I get like you? And I'd say, well, come train with me. And, well, what time you train? I'm at the gym at 4 in the morning. Oh, I don't get up till 11. Well, you ain't going to look like me then.
Yeah, make your choices. Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, I've been doing this for, you know, back then, I had been doing it since seventh grade. I mean, so it wasn't I just woke up, you know, at 28 years old and decided to be a bodybuilder. I mean, all of my powerlifting training, everything I had done, you know, got me to the point where I was at. When I started bodybuilding, it was just a matter of now refining, you know, my sport, you know, and doing lifting and eating that were appropriate for bodybuilding.
You know,
and you know, we talk a lot about, you know, diets and things. And I think, again, people have to get on the track that you got to eat, point blank.
Yeah, they don't eat enough, and that's why they're not gaining muscle. You know what's funny? I was just thinking, imagine if you treated college the way people treat their diet and exercise,
yeah.
Right? So if you imagine if you started your freshman year and you went to a few classes and then you took off. And then you went back a couple weeks later and tried to catch up. I mean, if you did that consistently, that approach where you went for a little while, then you took off for a little while, and you went, you think in 4 years you'd graduate? Of course not. And so
no,
how can people expect to make progress in any direction, body fat loss or increasing muscle mass, unless they do something consistently for weeks and months on end?
It's the mind, man. It's the mind. I saw people in school that, you know, every night, you know, they're getting high and getting drunk, and guess what? They dropped out of school. I mean, they didn't finish. You know, again, that isn't how you accomplish any goals. I mean, you know, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's consistency. It's having realistic goals. You know, you're not going to step into the gym your first year of training and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of the year. I mean, read some of Arnold's stuff. I mean, he started training as a little kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it took him years to get where he was. But the thing I like about Arnold is, you know, he lays it out there that you got to train hard. You got to eat. I mean, you're living the sport. Now, again, you know, if you're not going to be a professional bodybuilder or a professional athlete, you know, you're not going to live, eat, and breathe that sport. But if you want to, that's what you got to do. It is dedication, man. It's going to bed early, getting up early, training. No such thing of missing a meal or missing a workout. What?
Yeah.
That wasn't even in my vocabulary, Carl.
Well, interestingly enough, and we have technologies now that actually give us a better handle on our metabolic rate and the calories we need. So
right.
On superhumanradio.com right now, there's a banner ad for something called the Breezing Metabolic Tracker. It hooks up to a iPhone or an Android phone, and it's basically a calorimeter. You blow into it first thing in the morning, and it gives you your basal metabolic rate, tells you whether you're burning sugar or fat predominantly at that moment in time. And so if your training and diet is on, your metabolic rate should be increasing. If it's decreasing, you're doing something wrong. But more importantly, it tells you that just for living, not any special activity, you need X amount of calories a day. So now you go, oh, so if I want to add muscle, given the fact that I'm going to do an hour's worth of cardio, I probably got to add 1,500 calories to that today. There's no guesswork. We have technologies now that take the guesswork out of it. There's no reason for a hard gainer to say, I can't gain weight, because they are 90% of the time, they may be training well enough to stimulate a protein synthetic response, but they're not getting it because they're not eating enough.
Yeah, and you know, that's exactly right. You know, years ago, we had to figure it all out. I mean, we kept diaries and had a calculator, and we had the little, I can't think of the books. There was only one book that actually gave you calories of everything. And we would keep track. I mean, because, you know, again, it was important to know how much protein, how much carbs, how much fat, you know, how many calories you were taking in. Because when you started to diet, you needed to know where you were going to go, you know. And it's difficult because I remember some off seasons, again, off contest time where I was putting on muscle, taking in 10,000 calories. And when you were eating clean, that was the most difficult thing I had ever done in my life.
I was just going to say, because back in the day when you were a bodybuilder, you were low fat, basically. You didn't overeat fat. So how the hell did you get 10,000 calories a day in?
Oh, I was eating. I was waking up at midnight. I mean, I would eat, go back to bed. We didn't have protein drinks. So we had nasty old milk and egg protein. We had some egg white. I mean, I would mix that in a blender. You know, a couple bananas and milk, and, you know, extracts of vanilla or, you know, Equal and choke it down. I mean, it was the nastiest thing. You know, I was taking 100 liver tablets a day.
I was just going to ask you about liver tablets.
100,
oh my
100
God.
Amino protein tablets a day. So, again, those are calories. But that wasn't a lot. It was just eating. I mean, chicken, fish, turkey, and carbs. I mean, you know, I would sit down and I would literally have a pound of pasta. You know, that would be one meal. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a little picky. I mean, it was a lot of eating.
Yeah.
You know, and
But wait a minute. I want to illustrate something. So it was doing that. Most people would think, oh, my God, you know, I guess I could do that for a day or two. You did that every day for weeks, months, and years.
Yeah, I did it for a long time. And, you know, again, if you aren't training heavy and hard, you're going to get fat.
Right.
You know, you can't take in 10,000 calories and not be exercising. We were training twice a day and doing cardio. Now, you know, cardio was going for a walk. I mean, you know, I would have a meal and go for a walk. You know, have an evening meal, I would always go for a walk. I'd be doing something, you know. Off training days, I would jump on the bicycle and head down the Redondo Beach path and, you know, a couple, 2-3 hour bike ride. But guess what? When I stopped, I was eating, you know, sourdough bread and I had my food, my turkey. I mean, I didn't go anywhere. I mean, you always had food with you. It was a pain because I remember going into, you know, Disneyland or Universal Studios and having to take food because I couldn't be gone 3 hours or 4 hours without having one or two meals, you know.
Which really leads me to the next question, and actually the next part of this discussion, and it's redundant. It's redundant, but it needs to fit in here, and that is preparation. If you are going to break out of the role of being a hard gainer and you realize you need to start eating more, it cannot be a last-second decision. You need to think about it well in advance, and you need to plan to eat more. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and when we come back, let's pick it up on that topic. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Science for Humans.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending, Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs.
You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Science for Humans. So we're talking about being a hard gainer. And you know what? I gotta reframe this a little bit. So if you are not seeing the progress you expect in the gym, if you've been training for years and you don't add muscle, technically you're a hard gainer. That's it. Hard gainers are non-responders. Hard gainers are people who don't see progress. Any right. kind of progress. You're getting leaner. Your shoulders are getting bigger. Your biceps are getting bigger. Something's changing. Then you're making gains. So we have to talk about this, and I know we talked about it before, but the reality is if you're not doing this, if you're somebody who expects to see gains, and you're not seeing gains, and you're not doing this, then you did not get it last time we talked about it. We have to talk about food preparation again. Dr. J, how did you do it back in the day?
You know, back in the day, we didn't have six-pack coolers and Hot Logics and all the things that we have today. But when I hit the barbecue grill on the weekend, you know, I would cook enough for, you know, 3, 4, 5 days and put it in the freezer. You know, I didn't just make like one portion of rice. But, you know, the problem is that these non-responders, they aren't cooking their food. You know, they're going to Subway. They're going to McDonald's. You know, they're running through the quick way something. You know, that isn't how you're going to get enough calories. And it's expensive. It's cheaper to prepare your food. So when you cook rice, I would make a whole bag full. You know, rice lasts in the refrigerator for a week. You know, and then if it was, you know, I made more than what I wanted, then I would just freeze some and I'd put them in little baggies. I'd have my portions weighed out so I know exactly what I was eating per meal. Again, you know, cooking chicken, cooking turkey, you know, I didn't usually cook my fish too far ahead. Usually in the off season, I ate mostly chicken, but canned tuna. I lived on canned tuna. Yeah. I bought canned tunas by the case. I always travel with tuna fish and a can opener.
Me too. I can't believe you said that.
It was very easy to find carbohydrates when you're traveling. You could always find potatoes, breads, pastas, but sometimes it's very difficult to find high-quality protein. I would go into a restaurant, and it'd be a breakfast buffet, and I remember being over in England and going, oh, they got oatmeal here. They call it something else. They got some cereals that were like granolas. But their eggs were sitting in like 9 inches of oil. I'm opening up my tuna fish right on the plate, and I'm eating everything else. I mean, so again, you know, 69 cents, 79 cents for a can of tuna. You know, you can always get protein in. So you got to prepare your food. You know, don't go to the grocery store and buy one can of tuna. Buy enough for the whole week. I always bought food for the whole week. Bought enough for everything I needed. But like you said, you got to plan out your meals. You got to know what it is you're going to prepare. You know, if bananas are a staple, I would go in and get a box of bananas. You know, the stores are always trying to get rid of those bananas that are just starting to ripen. Man, those are the best ones for dropping in your protein shake in the blender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of make your own meal replacement. And, you know, nowadays with the protein powders that we have and, you know, the bars and the chips, I mean, what a great way to get in calories. Back then, the only thing we had, there was a drink that came out. It was about an 8-ounce bottle. They had gelatin and dextrose.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing we had to drink to get extra calories. And there was a period in time where, you know, we would be buying those things by the case. Because, again, I just couldn't eat enough, and we didn't have anything else better available. It wasn't the best. You know, did it work? Yeah. Did I use it all the time? No. But when I was trying to kickstart something, you know, I needed to get it online because you just can't go from 1,500 calories to 10,000 calories overnight. You got to work your way up. You know?
So how do you work your way up? We're running. I'm going to hit you with some bullet questions. So what do? 500 calories a day for a week, then add another 500 calories a day for a week. How do you increment it up?
Yeah, it would take me about 4 weeks to increase into a heavy gaining cycle. So it'd be more like, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 calories a week increase. You know, so if I was coming off a diet at about 3,500 calories or something, you know, I would maintain that after my fun weekend binge, get back on the diet, and then I would start to increase by about 1,500 calories a week because, again, I didn't want it to take a year to get back up to where I wanted. And then I would maintain that caloric content for the whole training period, you know.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't go have a steak, which, you know, would be a whole bunch of calories, or have a couple hamburgers or something. But those are more special occasions, you know, the overeating, the buffet. Those are my cheat days. I didn't do that stuff during my normal regimen because, again, I had to have these food at this time.
So another thing that people need to think about, if you need 250 grams of protein a day and you need 500 grams of carbs a day and you need, you know, 110 grams of fat a day, you need to take that and times that by 7 days, then go shopping based on
yep.
that.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, and, you know, you have to. You know, you plan it. And now, you know, with Carbolin and, you know, the EFX Sports Training Ground and Thrive, it's so easy now to drink 3 or 4 meals a day and eat 3 or 4 meals.
Yeah.
You know, you make your own meal replacement. You want Thrive to become a mass gainer. You add Carbolin to it.
Yeah.
You know, you should be having 2 to 3 times the carbs to the protein for a perfect meal. So you adjust your own macros. I mean, my goodness, you can get in 1,000 calories a drink. So, again, very easy now to get in calories, where in the old days, eating food, you know, especially without fat, it was hard. It was a chore. So there you have it, man. There's no such thing as non-responders, only under-eating, and I hate to say weak mind, but not focused, you know, not motivated.
Not determined, not motivated. I like that, not
yep.
motivated. And the reality
yep.
is, get motivated. You can do this. Anybody in this audience who's listening to this, there's nothing special about a pro bodybuilder or you, or a pro athlete and you, other than they made the decision that goal was going to have precedence and priority over everything else in their lives.
Now,
that's
look
it.
Here real quick. You're thinking, I don't know how to do this. Go to Superhuman Radio, ask the scientist, send me an email, and ask me for a weight gain plan. I don't charge anything. My plans are free because I like helping people out. Dr. Jeff will send you absolutely free a weight gain plan depending on what you tell me your goals are. So it doesn't get much better than that. Now, is that going to be your perfect plan? No, but it's going to help you get started, get you on track, give you some ideas. But it's what I used to do.
Beautiful idea. That's very, very awesome. So I hope people take advantage of this. I'm so tired of people saying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm getting ready to get ready. I'm going to do it. Just do it. pull the trigger and do it, for crying out loud. Get
yeah.
it over with. That's it.
Absolutely.
Dr. J, thanks so much, brother.
Thank you, and we'll see you all next week.
See you next week. And we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about fungal infections. More people have them than they think they do. Could this be the root of some of the symptoms that you live with and think that they're inevitable? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated, with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more. What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So we've been talking more and more about funguses, really quite by accident, because of some of the shows that we've been doing about the microbiome. You know, we think that there's just microbes in our gut, and that's not true. We talked about the difference between microbes and fungi. Fungi are actually a higher level of existence than microbes, right? We're going to talk more about. Let me bring my guest on, Wendy McPhail. How you doing, Wendy?
Hey, I'm doing great.
So a longtime listener reached out to me because I was recommending that people take Diflucan. She says, no, don't tell people to do that. That's crazy. It's bad for your liver. And it is bad for your liver. You can only take it for a short period of time because it is hepatotaxing, if you will. You are a functional diagnostic nutritionist. You are also a Weston A. Price Foundation chapter leader and a National Board Certified Colon Therapist.
Yes.
Funguses are becoming much more in the forefront of medicine. But more importantly, when we talk about the microbiome, all we talk about are the microbes. We don't talk about the fungi that live with the microbes that have synergistic effects, some good, some bad. It's like no one pays attention to the fact that funguses make up a large portion of what's in our gut, too.
Exactly. Well, you know, what I want to start this with is, you know, 20, 25 years ago, I was so sick, nobody knew what was wrong with me. And I had 26 doctors, and I had 5 prescription drugs a day to get through the day. And I had been a previous, in my life, I had been a national athlete in Canada. So I knew what it was to train. I knew what it was to be in shape. And I didn't know what had happened to me. I also want to say that for us to find out after your show, you know, we talked about this Crohn's disease, discovering that it has a fungal etiology.
Yep.
And that's the base of it. Well, I knew this 20 years ago. And for 17 years with my practice and working with people, I mean, people just, it's not talked about. And so for people to talk about it, we almost really then have to look at the prescription drugs and the other things that people are on. And that's kind of a no-no. So there's a lot of people like me, and we're in the background, and the first thing we talk about with everybody is fungus. That's my first thing.
Now that the allopathics out there will say, oh, you know, you guys go to fungus. It's, you know, much to do about nothing. What would you say to them?
Well, and that was the problem for many years. So they talk about people that are immunocompromised, like HIV positive, and they say, yes, those are the people that end up with severe fungal infections. But just this July, the CDC gave an alert. It's all over the internet that there's a brand new superbug, and it's fungal. So think of this, antibiotics, nothing else will work for it. They had to close down a hospital in the UK because 3 people just died of this, and it's called Candida auris, A-U-R-I-S. Now, in the past, we know there's 6 or 7 different staph infections, and they're having problems dealing with that. But when we have created, so to speak, from our drug usage, we've created now a superbug fungus. And you said earlier that they don't live like other microbes live. They're kind of above what we can do with bacteria.
A fungus is actually a eukaryocyte, right? Because it has a nucleus.
Yes.
And a microbe is a prokaryocyte because it doesn't have a nucleus. So technically, in the order of intelligence, if you will, funguses are more important and more special than microbes are. But all we focus on now is microbes.
Right. But you got to look at their food. I mean, a fungal situation, they're going to grow. They're anaerobic. They love it when there's no oxygen.
Mm.
I mean, if you start looking at it as a pathogen, you start looking at the way that you need to treat it. For instance, if someone comes to me with H. pylori, and that's a bacteria in the gut, and most drugs are going to be given for that to kill the bacteria, so they're going to give them antibiotics. But what they don't talk about, and doctors seemingly don't want to see, is that H. pylori doesn't live alone. It's got a lot of amigos with it, and they all love to live together, and mm-hmm. one of them is going to be candida. It's going to be fungus. So they give these people the antibiotics, they kill their H. pylori, and 3 months later it comes roaring back. And why is that? Because there's a terrain. There's a ground. There's a ground that things are growing in, and it's just like going out there and hitting your whole garden with Roundup. You know, I mean, other things start growing. And we have to look at our garden of our gut like that. It's a garden, and we've got to look at what's growing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about symptoms. Some could be innocuous. We have a lot of people with digestive problems today. I
yes.
read a study last year that I've inferred to on the show that there was a study done on girth circumference of people's guts. It has grown,
mm-hmm.
but without additional body fat. So what we're talking about is the internal organs, the viscera, is becoming enlarged
yes.
and distended. And I believe this is from the gut and the intestines being inflamed, and so on. What kind of symptoms did somebody have if they had a low-level fungal infection?
Okay, well, the first thing I always tell people, look at your toenails. Just look there. I mean, that's the first common thing people say. Oh, well, I'll just use tenactin. No, that's not the root of the problem. You're going to put some cream on there, but it's coming from somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after we talk about the toenails, we can talk about the brain fog where you can't think, and especially after you eat. And I would say to people, anything. It doesn't have to be a high-carb diet. You eat, and you want to go lay on your couch and fall asleep. Or you can't think. You just sort of walk around in this blur. If somebody asks your address, you're like, I don't know. I can't tell you. It's a pervasive problem. And in Japan a few years ago, they actually had arrested a young guy for driving under the influence. And it was proved through his family and through tests that he never drank a drop of alcohol in his life. But he had what was called that. It was a condition called a beer gut without the beer. But it had been fermenting. So we talked just a minute ago about funguses fermenting. So they ferment. They love to live in an anaerobic environment. They love to do this. So if you think about fermentation in general, let's say you're making beer and you're trying to ferment. And if you imagine they have the hops in one of these, they have all these things separated, and then it goes through the process of fermentation. Well, just imagine inside your gut, everything fermenting, only you don't have off-gassing tubes like you would see when you look at people making beer. They have all these off-gassing tubes coming off of these big vats, and so there goes all the toxins are going out there. Well, think about your gut. You don't have that.
Right.
So all of those toxins from the fermentation in your gut are going right through that bloodstream directly to the brain, passing the blood-brain barrier, and you could be eating organic, expensive food, but you don't feel well. And it's a big sign. So you got the brain fog, you got the toenail fungus, you've got gas, bloating, and distension.
Okay, that's
I got
a lot of questions, so I'm going to apologize to the people in the audience who get mad at me for interrupting. But I want to cover a lot of ground here. Okay, so why the feet and ankles and toenails? Why are they the first to go? Is it blood flow? Is it gravity because it's pulling these toxins down there? Why down there as opposed to other places in the body?
Well, I would think, especially with the feet, usually they're covered up. Most people have socks and shoes on, and maybe they sweat.
Mm-hmm.
I know that
okay.
things can be picked up,
okay.
you know, in that way. But, I mean, I've seen it everywhere. Actually, the first thing I see it in is not usually there. I see sinus infections. And the Mayo Clinic in the late 80s, this can be found online, the Mayo Clinic said sinus infections are not from bacteria. They should not be using antifungals. I mean, they should not be using antibiotics. It is actually a fungal infection. It's fungal. It's not bacterial. So imagine all these people taking antibiotics and making all of their sinus problems worse and worse and worse.
What about GERD? Is GERD potentially a symptom?
GERD, yes. Okay, so when I wrote you, I had listened to that program, and I had also listened to the researcher talking about the probiotic situation in the colon the week before. And what I wrote you, what my frustration was if someone does take Diflucan, if somebody does take Nystatin, and it's not that they're evil, they can be used for the right time and place. But the problem with that is you're going to get as far as your liver, as you said. You're going to get into the bloodstream a bit, and you're going to get rid of the toxins coming from the root. So the root source is actually sending out toxins. You're going to get that in the blood, but you're not getting to the root. So, you know, when you talk about the digestion and GERD, well, candida, once it starts growing, you know, babies have it on their tongue. It's called thrush.
Yeah.
It's a white-coated tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it goes all the way from the tongue down the esophageal area right through the stomach, and it can go all 23 feet of the small intestine and 5 feet of bowel. So now you've got almost 5 feet of GI tract that's pretty much gets taken over and colonized by fungus. Okay. So now you're imagining someone with GERD. They come in and they go, I've got acid reflux. You know, I'm not feeling good. Well, if what I say to everybody is what they're not going to acknowledge is that this is a colonization and it needs to be looked at in and of itself as one thing. But what tends to happen is we want to suppress the symptoms and we want the symptoms to stop. So the idea of drugs is we suppress those symptoms and we make them go away. We generally, in our medical system, don't get to root cause. So then we're usually given a drug or something to make those symptoms back off. So they go there with GERD, and what are they given?
They give them proton pump inhibitors. They give them things
exactly.
that change the pH, that raise the pH of the gut,
yes.
which then makes it more susceptible yes. to colonization, right?
Yes, exactly. And so you can sort of see this perpetuating problem. And it would be one thing if it just stayed there in the gut. But by now it becomes leaky gut syndrome. By now you're eating food and most of your food is undigested. It's going into the bloodstream. And so this condition, especially for women, the endocrine system, women start having hormonal problems. They're getting hysterectomies. Everything plays into the next thing, which plays, you know, candida alone gives off between 70 and 79 known toxins into that bloodstream. So you just think about that situation growing in your body. And so you have weightlifters out there. You have all the people you talk to every day. You tell them to do all these things. But what if they've got something that's compromising their ability to even assimilate the foods they're eating?
I have it.
Break them down.
I have it.
Look, what if?
I can tell you that when my gut is the worst, I don't sleep well, and the numbness in my feet and lower legs becomes worse. I was just talking to Dr. Matt Andre, and I said, you know, I've got doctors trying to tell me that this is compression in my lumbar spine. He goes, not bilateral. He goes, it sounds to me like you're right. I told him, I said, I think I have an autoimmune disorder. He goes, I think you're right.
Yeah,
he goes,
almost sounds a little bit, yeah, like neuropathy.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, when you have toxins in your body, the first thing that they attack are the long nerves of the legs. They're the first ones that are susceptible.
Right.
So, okay, we have to take a break. Okay. I want to take a quick commercial break. I got lots more questions and we're going to talk about remedies too. So those of you listening to this, if these things sound like you, if you are gassy in the morning when you wake up, if you're belching, you haven't had anything to eat, if you're gassy all the time, you have to leave the room 1,000 times because you have to go out and pass wind. If you feel bloated, whether you eat or not, if you have brain fog or you get exhausted and just want to lay down after every single meal, if you have toenail fungus or fingernail fungus or athlete's foot that reoccurs over and over again, you need to listen, because not only are we going to identify some of these root causes, but what you can do with and actually avoid some of these drugs that may be harmful. So stay tuned.
$4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compounds. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars. Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Isolate Whey Protein is the perfect complement to your muscle growth, fat loss, or fitness program. Packing an awesome amino acid profile, Muscle Gauge WPI is easily digested, lactose-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. The Pure Whey Protein Isolate used in Muscle Gauge's WPI is absorbed fast, transporting amino acids into muscle fibers to begin the repair and rebuilding process. Pure WPI delivers pharmaceutical-grade whey protein at a price you can afford. Don't pay more. Don't settle for less. Go to MGNstore.com today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Wendy McPhail. Her website is Nethersprings, NetherSprings.com. They've been helping people for 12 years now on the forefront of a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about today. We're focused on fungal infections, which a lot of people probably have and don't know. So I just want to mention one other thing, and then I want to talk about fungal die-off and also alcohol consumption. I am convinced that a lot of the funguses that are being introduced by boutique coffee houses like Starbucks and Seattle's Best, so much so that I had to cut out drinking coffee.
Yes.
But more importantly, yes, if I walk into a Starbucks, this is not a lie, I'm not a hypochondriac, okay? If I walk into a Starbucks, my throat starts to close up, my mm-hmm. nose starts to run, and I start coughing. And Elisa will attest to this. And I said to her, you know, there's got to be like fungal something in the air there. What do you think about that?
I agree with you, but I would say, again, it goes back to your GI tract and your gut. You've got leaky gut syndrome. Once we're exposed, you know, kind of like once our GI tract is kind of perforated with these, you know, microscopic holes, we're in an immune suppressed situation. Everything. I mean, the number one thing that I look for with fungal involvement is high amounts of allergies, lots of, you know, being unable to eat foods, being unable to be in environments. So someone else could walk in there with an intact GI tract and not feel what you feel.
Gotcha. Okay.
In one sense, you're a canary in the coal mine, and it's kind of good to be someone who's sensitive because then you're going to do something about it. If we didn't get sensitive and if we didn't, we would just, you know, sort of motor on not understanding.
Lots of people suffer from rosacea, or red skin on their chest and shoulders,
yes,
and just idiopathic redness all the time. Is this, I suspect,
yes,
it's from fungus. Am I right?
Partly. So, you know, in my case, I had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, lupus, MS, and then a few years later, I had breast cancer, and all of these symptoms are there. And you're right, there's a fungal involvement. So here's kind of how it works. I mean, this is how I try to say to everybody, candida and fungals, they're an opportunist. They love to grow and breed when the conditions are right. The immune system is key for recovery, but when the condition is embedded in your body, the toxins released compromise and paralyze your immune system. So now the body becomes overwhelmed and cannot fight the condition. So if there's anybody listening, and I'm sure there is, that are functional nutritionists or functional doctors, they're going to be saying to themselves right now, yeah, and when I took my courses in school, they always treated the fungal aspect as the last thing. Like, first we're going to do this, we're going to do this and this and this and this, and then we're going to give them this and we're going to do that. And then over here, back here, now we're going to eventually, if there's a fungal problem, we'll treat it. In my practice, I have noticed that when there's a fungal takeover of the gut, there's so many toxins released that it actually overwhelms the rest of the body. You know what it's like, Carl? It's like you went and bought a brand new or an older house, you got a deal. The house is all sort of broke down, and there's grass growing that's 3 or 4 feet high around that house. You can't take a lawnmower in there, can you?
Nope.
You can't because the grass is too high. So what you have to do is size down that grass. You get the grass low enough so that then you can go in there, and then you can start doing the actual work. So if there's any practitioners out there sort of poo-pooing me right now, which is possible, I would say this to you. To get to the fungal, you have to get to the fungal problem first to get to the cause underneath it. So, Carl, you have a fungal problem. You're saying all these things are happening to you, but you had a first cause that's underneath all that. Fungus is just opportunists. It's like in your bathroom when you got mold all over your shower. I mean, you've got, what have you got in there? You've got no oxygen. You have no sunlight. This is growing. Why is it growing?
Okay, so I will tell you this, and this has been my suspicion. So I hadn't drank any alcohol for probably 15 years. But then right. I got myself in such great shape. I looked good. And then I started going out. I went through my divorce and I started going out. And all of a sudden, you know, I know a lot about wines and I started drinking. And I was drinking 4 or 5 days a week. Is alcohol the culprit in my case, you think?
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question first. Tell everybody on the radio, what is the title of my segment? What did you ask me? What was the title of this segment?
I'd have to go back and look, but it was...
It's mycotoxins.
Mycotoxins, yeah. Identifying and treating mycotoxicity.
Okay, so ask everybody out there, what's alcohol?
Well, alcohol will actually... you use it to create an aseptic environment, so you will kill things.
Yeah, but what is it, Carl? Carl, it says alcohol is a mycotoxin of the Saccharomyces yeast...
I didn't know
family.
That. I did not know that.
That's what it is. So just imagine you probably had some fungus going on, and then you're feeling good, and then you start hearing about all these great things about red wine and how we need to drink alcohol for this or that. And by the way, if you listen to the evening news, you'll be eating chocolate all day, and you'll be drinking wine all day.
Yeah. You know,
all these new studies, they're great. They can even find something great about smoking cigarettes, I'm sure. So our situation is you always got to go to the root and you always got to look. Okay, let's just talk about one scenario. And I know this from your website, Carl, that you believe about what I believe about grains, genetically modified
yes.
grains. So just think about this. Our FDA in our country, they have a certain amount of aflatoxic and mycotoxic mold that's just allowed in our grains, period.
Right.
So first of all, they have a level for human consumption. So they go, okay, well, people can have it until it gets to this point. And then when it gets to that point, they say, well, humans can't have it anymore. Let's give it to the factory farmed animals because they can have all of these grains. And then it gets even too high for them. So they say, where should we send these grains? I know. We'll send them over to the alcohol people.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can just hear everybody's brains ticking because guess what, everybody? Everybody, they use grains that are too contaminated for people and animals for alcohol.
Interesting. And quite frankly, they then after that they sell the mash back to farmers to feed to their cows after they make alcohol out of it.
Right.
So, and in fact, you want to know how dangerous some of these molds are? Now, correct me. I may have some of this convoluted and incorrect, but there is a type of corn that has a high mold content. I think it's called mother corn or something like that. You know what I'm talking
uh-huh.
about?
Well, actually, the number one and number two highest mycotoxin-containing food in the world, number one is corn, and number two is Spanish peanuts.
So, okay, so they sent a bunch of corn to a third world country. You know how we're always donating money? A dollar feeds a kid for 16 hours. They sent a bunch of corn to a third world country, and 168 people died within 24 hours. They realized that the mold in the corn was killing people.
Yes. And I always like to say on moments like this that corn is not a vegetable. Corn is a grain. And people need to know that because if you are staying away from grains and you're eating corn is actually, and the highest GMO food in the world also is corn, but corn is a real tricky subject. You could do a whole show alone on corn. Very, very high in mycotoxic mold. Corn and wheat are both very high. Barley's high. Sorghum is high. Peanuts are high. Rye is high. Hard cheeses are high. I mean, I can hear people's voices going, oh no, what can I eat?
Yeah, I love my cheese.
hey, well, go with raw cheese and ferment it. You'd be a little bit better off there. But, this is such a huge topic. To be honest with you, I feel right now, especially this wonderful coming out with the Crohn's, going back to your show, you know, talking about Crohn's disease and then you talking about Diflucan, talking about nystatin, which back in the 80s we did use a lot of nystatin, and nystatin can be in pill form or in powder. And I still use it in powder form for the throat and esophageal area. But, you know, if you think about fungus, if it's living through all 5 feet of the intestinal tract, you've got to be able to get from the throat all the way down to the bottom. And if pills don't do it, what do we do, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So earlier you said And she's a national board certified colon therapist. And, you know, I always get, whenever I say that in rooms when I speak, there's this sort of silence.
Everybody clenches their butt cheeks and goes, gee, I hope she doesn't come over here.
And you know what? I'd love to talk about poop, to be honest with you, because you know,
good, because I have questions about poop. I'm glad you said that.
Well, 150 years ago, if a doctor came to your house for your child, what was the first question the doctor asked?
Did he poop? Nope. I don't know.
Did he poop? Can I see the poop? And if you take your vet, if you take your dog to the vet, what do they want?
I don't know. I don't have a dog. They want his poop, I guess, huh?
Okay, or a cat.
Okay. No. I mean, I don't have any pets. So do they ask for poop samples, I guess, huh?
Yes. And I want to tell you something real quick here. One of the beautiful things about doing colon hydrotherapy and seeing poop, and I'm sure everybody's got their... Now, here's the cool thing. If you're driving and listening, nobody has to hear that you're excited or be excited about poop. So here's an amazing thing. I call it actually the acid test because I don't really care what someone's diet is. If someone is so promotional of their diet, they're like this and this and this, and my diet is this and mine is that. Some people it's religious reasons, some people it's working out reasons, some, you know, it can be a million reasons you're on the diet you're on. So I always say, well, there's an acid test for you individually, you, your diet, whatever you're doing. Now it might be a good diet for someone else, but let's see how you are handling it. And especially the raw food people, because I just say, I'll give you a free colonic. You just sit here. And when we do it, they go, oh, there goes all my food. It's all whole. It's not even digested. And I don't have to say a word.
Right.
I just go, uh-huh. Look at that. So that's the acid test. And if you've got bugs, if you've got things that are taking over your gut, well, guess what? Your food, no matter how expensive it is not being assimilated. I mean, it's one thing to eat it, but is it being assimilated? So all of these gut bugs, I mean, obviously I do function, so I work with functional nutrition. And I, you know, what's the number one place to look for function is going to be your stool, right?
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes. And
we
have to take a break. I want to come back and I want to talk about the stool because I have some opinions. I actually look, I don't know if anybody else does this, but I look in the toilet every single time I go because I want to see whether it's pasty, whether it's well formed. I have this theory about it. We'll talk about it on the other side. And then I want to start talking about what people need to remove from their diet and what they need to start using in order to reduce the mycotoxicity. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. If you'd like to reach out and talk to Wendy McPhail, you can go to her website, Nether Springs, NetherSprings.com. So I'm one of these people.
Also, Carl,
yes.
Could I just quickly say on Facebook, I'm under NutriFunction Nether Springs, the two words.
Okay. So there you can go.
So
through.
It's NutriFunction Nether Springs, and there's a lot of information on what I talk about, I'm talking about with you as well on Facebook. So.
Very cool. So I'm one of these people, and Elisa will tell you that we're talking about one of my favorite subjects now, poop. Ever since I was a little kid, this has been a hot topic for me. But it's changed. Now it's more scientific. So I look in the toilet every time I go. I believe, and I could be wrong, that evidence of a good diet that's working well with your digestive system is firm, round balls that are compressed together into a bar shape. Not this mushy, Play-Doh looking, yucky, yucky stuff, but instead, like when I hunted, deer, you know, they have these compressed balls into like almost log shapes, you know, when they're healthy. Dogs do this too, except when dogs eat corn-based and wheat-based chow, and then their poop just doesn't want to even come out. It doesn't want to move. It's like sludge.
Yes.
So my opinion is, if your food is working for you, your poop will show it. What do you think of that?
Yes. Now, number one, anybody listening can go online to Google and just search out the Bristol stool chart, which is spelled B-R-I-S-T-O-L, Bristol stool chart, and it will actually give you pictures. So it's very clear, but Your stool is going to directly reflect the food you're eating and your assimilation of your food. You know, people can be eating good food, but as we've said, that's the acid test. As far as the shape and the color, yes, we look for that in colon therapy. It's very important. It shouldn't be mushy, and it shouldn't be little rocks that look like rabbit poop
right.
or goat poop either. So, and sometimes it can come out with a bunch of little hard balls, but they're all stuck together.
I love this. Type three, a sausage shape with cracks in the surface, which basically is
Actually,
all these
two
balls
types
compressed
on there
together.
That are, two types that are good. So I really look for that. Plus, I look for color. I don't know that that chart actually shows color, but you talked about mushy and a very pale stool that's gray or green, very pale.
Yes.
Generally has gallbladder and liver problems with bile. And usually, you know, I see that with, you know, wheat intolerant, gluten intolerant people will quite often have those stools. So we're kind of looking, you know, because I've been doing this so many years, obviously I'm noticing things very quickly. There are things that can change your stool. If you eat a lot of spinach, it can be very dark. If you eat a lot of blueberries, spinach, et cetera. But again, the overall way that you might find, Carl, that you'll eat something one day and then you eat something different the next day and you have completely different stool. And because I'm as old as you are, Carl, I remember in first grade when we used to make paste. How did we make paste?
I don't remember. Wasn't it flour or something?
It was flour and water.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, everybody listening, that doesn't matter if it's whole grain flour either. So whether that's white flour or whole grain flour, when you add water to it, you make paste.
Heck,
make
what they used to use for wallpaper up, to put wallpaper up back in the day.
Okay, so now I want to talk to everybody eating pasta and bread and breakfast cereal. And you got to start thinking like a colon therapist. And you got to start thinking that that's the wrong kind of fiber, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So you poop.
Yeah, and not to mention the genetically modified, and not to mention that it's high glucose and put your body into high glucose. All of those things are there too. But even just when I have clients who say, you know, my stool comes out like a pencil, it's pencil thin. Well, you know, right away I'm asking them, are you eating a lot of soy? I mean, soy is one of the biggest problems we have today. People eating edamame, people eating soy. If you go into the areas of the world where they eat a lot of soy, they generally ferment that soy. They eat miso. They eat, you know, tempeh. They eat these foods that they're not eating it raw. And when you have a raw soy, you have so many problems as your body tries to break that down with these. First of all, you got the phytoestrogens, then you've got the anti-nutrients that need to be broke down, like phytic acid and all these things. It needs to be soaked. It needs to be fermented. And now just imagine, you said earlier about somebody's stomach being very extended and sitting out there. I see that with women eating a lot of soy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're passing gas all day.
They look like they're carrying a barrel between their upper chest and their bottom. That looks like a big barrel chest.
And then what can happen is the transverse part of the colon actually will fall forward and lay forward and actually lay on the bladder. And now you've got frequent urination. So, you know, when people talk, this is what I always say to people. Start with your colon. People are always like, what should I do first? What do I do? What do I do? I'll say this. I've had a lot of people that start doing, you know, they read something online, they start doing all these liver flushes, but guess what? Their colon isn't open. So now they're doing liver flushes. They're laying flat in their back in bed. They're calling me going, I just did a liver flush, you know, and I'm sick as a dog. Well, guess what? Your colon is full. So you really need to start with your base, and your base is always going to be the GI tract, always. Okay, you're going to start getting, make sure your bowels are open. And by the way, anybody listening, you know, 2 to 3 times a day of a regular 6 to 8 inch stool is normal. So most of my clients, especially women, say, well, I go every morning. That's not enough. Okay, that's truly not enough.
Yeah, especially if you're eating.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. What should people be avoiding if, in fact, they suspect that they are suffering from some form of mycotoxicity?
Okay, so the first thing I do with people is I say this. You know, later on down the road, we can get onto a different diet, but to start the detoxification from mycotoxins and molds and things, we really need to get on a specific diet. There are books written out there where they have phases, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. Basically what I do is I really recommend no grains at all. Grains are just full of mycotoxic molds. And then the next two things are going to make people very sad, but so are nuts and seeds. So, I mean, if you just even imagine where they're all kept, most grains and nuts and seeds are kept in silos. If they are taken off of fields and they're kept in a silo, what is a silo like? It's dark.
Damp.
And it's damp.
Right.
What do you think grows there, right?
Mold.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got to look at these types of foods. Obviously, there's something called an antifungal diet. And again, I'm an educator. I teach in the school district. So I spend a lot of time not telling people that they have to come to me to do my little program. I'm really not that person. I love to educate. So when I teach people, I say, you can find a book on an antifungal diet. Just make sure there's no grains in there. Okay. Make sure that there is not a lot of fruit. Because everybody says to me, I'm eating really healthy now. I'm eating great. I'm like, really? What are you eating? I'm eating fruit. So they're getting fructose all day. They're basically in a high sugar situation, right? And it comes in sort of, you know, under the radar because this is fruit. Fruit's good.
Oh, it's so good for you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And so then they'll say also to me, well, if I don't eat fruit, I don't poop. I mean, I got to have my coffee or I got to eat fruit. So for me as a practitioner, you know, my little red flag goes up because I always know that when people take away those certain foods, then they can't poop. You've got a condition going on in the gut. So So first of all, again, we start with diet. I have a three-pronged approach, and I'll just say the overview real quick, what that is. My first part is the diet and lifestyle changes. So Candida loves refined, overprocessed, low-fiber foods, especially sugars. The diet will avoid the sugars, alcohol, dairy, and many times all the grains as well. So I know I can hear people groaning right now, and I know. If you're on antibiotics, you're going to be in a situation where if you're taking the pill, which is hormones, or if you're taking antibiotics and you're doing things, you're actually going to be causing it to grow. So it is a little, we get kind of into a battle zone when we're in that circumstance, right?
Right.
So that's part one, diet and lifestyle changes. Part two is a fiber antifungal mix recipe, something I just created over the years as a colon therapist, realizing that pills and supplements and all of the other didn't work. It can work down the line, but initially, until we get the mucus out of the gut and until we get the biofilm open and we get to the candida and we get to the parasites, plus I do lab testing, so I can usually tell if there's parasites going on, especially in the bowels, things like blastocystis, things like H. pylori, which we talked about before. There's a lot of bugs that love to take up residence when we've got mycotoxins built up in our body. It's almost like our body's saying, come on over. Like, come on. We got a good thing going here. You know, so everybody comes. And then you start having, like in my case, I had Epstein-Barr, I had viruses, I had bacteria, I had fungus, I pretty much had everything. And it's a whole other subject, but it's one of the reasons why I talk with Lyme disease people a certain way, because generally it's been, people with Lyme disease also have a wide open gut with leaky gut. And so other things, you know, you become a collector. Your body becomes a collector. You just start collecting, okay? So part two is a fiber antifungal mix recipe. I rotate the antifungals, as you know. Fungus is pleomorphic, and that just simply means that when you kill one strain, it will hop over to another strain to survive. You know, it's been around for millennia. It knows how to survive, and it will survive if it can, right?
Right.
So we've got to do things a certain way to start killing it. So that's part two. So I have kind of a program. People can get creative with it because there's many types of antifungals in the world. Many kinds of foods are antifungal, like garlic, like, you know, high-quality oils. All of those are good things. Number three, part three is making sure the bowels are moving. The number one sign when people go on an antifungal program is they will call me and say, I'm not pooping anymore. I'm bloated. I'm gassy. I feel awful. I'm taking your fiber, but I'm not pooping. So that is, Carl, what you talked about earlier when people start going into what's called die-off, when lots of fungus, lots of things start to die, and their little carcasses are up there dying, but they're not getting out of the body. And that's where you come in with enemas, that's where you come in with colonics, whatever you can do. Get the bowels open, because if the bowels aren't open, all of that is sitting up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is where it can get really complicated in my discussion with you, because obviously I've been doing this so many years, and I work individually with the person, so I see what they can tolerate, what they can't tolerate. It's not one of these things where you go, here, take this, and everybody just do it. You know, one person can get very sick on one thing, but someone else can do another thing. You know, it's just the way that the body is. It's
can you work? Can you work with people from a distance? Can you work with people who are
yes,
not right
there? Yes, I do. Yes, lab testing. I use BioHealth Labs and can be shipped anywhere actually in the world. The lab kits, it comes to your door. You do the test. You send it back to the lab, and then the lab sends me the results. I do consultations via phone. Usually, you've got to email me first, and then we set up a phone consult. I'm very reasonably priced. My goal is to educate. That's always been my premier goal. I feel that people are, in general, myself, I mean, my whole story of how I got well, I was really told I was going to die twice, and especially when I got the breast cancer, because I also have the BRCA gene, and they said, you have the gene. And I always say to everybody, and I know you've talked about epigenetics before, but you might have a loaded gun, but it does never need to fire.
Right.
I had the breast cancer. I didn't do chemo or radiation. I did get well. So we can change our bodies. If you know about Weston A. Price, you know that this is what he figured out traveling the world and figuring out that all these diets of the world, they all had certain things in common. So, you know, you just put it all together. There's a lot of information I could talk about right now, but I don't want to overload.
Well, here's what I want to do. So I want to mention to people that they can go to your website, and that's probably the best place to start to reach out to you if they do want to work with you, and that
yes.
is Nether,
yes.
Nether Springs.com.
Right.
And I want to take a break. When we come back, two things I want to absolutely cover. So the number one is, how do they test? Can they really definitively tell that you have a mycotoxin overload, number one? And number two, What supplements? I've heard oregano oil. I've heard olive leaf extract. I mean, do some of these work? Don't they work? So let's talk about supplements when we come back to, okay? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Big sight. New. Hank.
Welcome back. Nethersprings.com is the place to go if you suspect that you have autoimmune disorders, fibromyalgia, and it's coming from your gut, and you know that it's coming from your gut because your gut probably bothered you well before a lot of these symptoms arose, and get some results. Okay, so can I get a test done where you can definitively look at it and go, oh, my God, Carl, you are overloaded with this, this, and that. You absolutely have a high fungal load.
Well, this is kind of where it gets a little bit tricky because over many years, since I think even the 80s when Dr. Crook came out with the Yeast Connection book, doctors have always said, well, everybody has this. So it's very hard to test for it. But what we do with either small intestine tests looking for SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or for bowel, especially with the bowel, you can see an overgrowth of yeast in the bowel, and the test nowadays can say that. However, I'm also looking for things like abundant E. coli. I mean, everybody has E. coli, but when you see other things in the body that are way out of range, we're looking at that. I am looking at the history of the client. I'm looking at what prescription drugs they've been on, what their physical history has been, what their symptoms are. I'm looking for previous surgeries. I'm looking for stress. I'm looking for all those things. So I've got their history. I'm doing the testing. And then kind of what we all kind of do in alternative medicine is we say to them, you know, we're going to see how you do with these antifungals, and we're going to see how you do when we start this program. Because if you really have no problems, if you really have an intact gut and we start doing some of the work that we're going to do, you're not going to have any issues. You're not going to have any problems. So there's like a 3-point marker I look for. I do the lab test that tells me there's an imbalance of flora, clearly an imbalance, a very strong imbalance where I'm seeing far more of the bad bacteria than the good. Okay, so we're going to see that. Now, obviously, a colon, a poop test, and the lab I do does 3 separate poops. Now, some of these labs you might say, I'm going to go to the one that's on my medical here, and they'll take one stool sample and they'll take 3 or 4 samples from the one stool. And you really don't want to do that.
Oh.
You want to have 3 or 4 separate samples. Now, here's where it gets tricky. I have clients that say, yeah, but I'm not even pooping. I mean, I only poop once a week. Well, that's okay. We're going to wait until you can do 4 poops. Okay.
Wow.
So this is where it gets really, really important. And lab testing matters. I mean, the labs that people use, the labs that people go to, you know, most people don't know that labs in general, do you ever wonder how they get those parameters, you know, of between this and this is...
Yeah, they look at a sick population. the population they're looking at is broken, and they're going, oh, this is what's normal.
Yes, yes. And so every 5 years, or every year, their parameters are always changing. So they're always going to reflect what most people are like. But that is a very watered down and a very wrong thing to look at, in my opinion, especially in function and going with function. So I'm always going to be looking at, you know, how well is this? I like to use a lab, number one, that likes to do the proper parameters of where people should really be. Because that's going to change everything when we start seeing those numbers, right? Another thing we look for in the small intestine is SIGA, and that's an excreted juice that basically you're going to produce a lot of SIGA or you're not going to produce a lot of SIGA. I do use that as a marker. A lot of these things, Carl, they're markers, and some of it takes experience. Some of it, like I said, the simplest person knowing nothing can get on an antifungal diet and start using some of these natural antifungals and start making some great changes, okay? And you asked me that between the break about, so what things are you going to use? And you mentioned oregano oil. There's many, many good products. The problem is that the pathogens like to live within the mucosal layer. They like to live in something called a biofilm. If you happen to see any of the pictures of Crohn's disease, because it was in the news the last 2 weeks of everybody saying that, hey, we found this fungal marker for Crohn's. We now know it's got a fungal base. So they showed a lot of pictures of Crohn's disease. I noticed it was all over the internet, and I loved it because it showed all this white gunky matter stuck on the inside wall of the colon. Did you happen to see those pictures?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
See? Yeah. So there's exactly what I'm talking about. So what we want to do when we want to get to the parasites and everything, they're not stupid. These are organisms who have been around for millions of years, whatever you believe about the time of the earth. So they've been there forever. So don't you think they know how to survive?
Yeah.
You think they're just going to sit there out in the open and go, okay, hit me with your oregano. Here I am. So they're hidden, and a lot of them, like viruses, they like to hide. And they're a little bit harder to reach, but if we can get to where they're living and if we can get behind that, if we can get into that, mucosal, like my own personal story in the 90s, I had a lot of lab tests done, and one of the ones I had done, he said, you have no parasites. And I remember thinking, how is this possible?
Yeah.
I mean, I have
I'm an aseptic human being. How wonderful. It's like,
well, this is what happened. I came back as you know, this is kind of what got me into the field I'm in, because I came back as being parasite free. And I thought, this is impossible. So over the next so many months, I quit eating all grains. And in those days, we were making our own bread with, you know, we had a Bosch bread maker. We put the fresh wheat through the grinder, everything. So I stopped eating all grains after that. I started doing the program I was talking to you about. I used fiber mixed with liquid antifungals to bring it through my colon. And guess what happened? About 4 to 6 months later, I go back to that doctor with my little baby food containers full of all these funny things that are coming out my stool. And he's looking at that going, well, where did this come from? And I said, well, so go with me on this for a minute and think about this. If you're eating inflammatory foods and those foods are also feeding yeast and feeding your pathogen, and they're sitting there and you're in an inflammatory condition on the wall, the mucosal wall, and every time you're eating those, you're creating more and more inflammation, and then you come along with oregano oil to kill your candida, I'm sorry, you're not going to get to it. And as long as you keep eating those foods, you could be continually eating your foods, and now you're taking your oregano, and the oregano basically can get to nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a whole condition. So when I stopped eating all the grain, I stopped the inflammation. Boom, right there. Okay, I stopped eating the grains. I started watching my diet. Now after that, I start taking fiber. I start using something as a broom. And I mix that with liquid antifungal. So the broom, the fiber, starts pulling that off the wall. And before you ask me, it could take a week. It can take someone 3 months. I recently had a lady have stage 4 cancer, lost one of her kidneys. By the time I saw her, she's been pretty sick. But, you know, she's in good shape. She hikes with her husband. She's a happy woman, but pretty sick on the inside. Now, in her case, she came to me last April. And we are now just starting to see the mucus and the stuff come out of her. Now, every person's different, but when you get to the point where you've gone through many surgeries, you've gone through a lot of drugs, you've gone through a lot of problems, your gut and your body has been suppressed. You keep suppressing your symptoms with drugs. You keep suppressing all the time. It takes a while for the body to start actually letting go. Okay, so I'm not going to give anybody here a time period because it doesn't work that way. So anyway, I started bringing in my fiber with a natural liquid antifungals, and then I thought, I need a way to cause these toxins that the fiber and the liquid antifungals are bringing off the walls, and as I start pulling out this mucus, I need a way for it to be bound to something so that it won't actually, I won't sit there in migraine headaches and dying, you know. So I actually added liquid bentonite, which was a clay, and I started adding that to it. And once I started doing that, you know, liquid bentonite is technically, it attracts everything to it, even aflatoxic and mycotoxic mold.
We did a whole show on geophagy, the eating of dirt. Back in the day, people used to use bentonite clay. It was in kale pectate.
Exactly. And the cool thing about it is it's an inert substance, so it's not assimilated by the body. It just passes through the body. And so once I got my vehicle, I had to have fiber, I had to have some other things as a base, and then I used my base and I started to rotate different liquid antifungals through the base, and I started to do it really regular. Now, over years of clients, I've noticed that every single client is different about the liquid antifungals that affect them the most. Every person's different, but I have seen that this thing really works. Now, I can say to you that I have the acid test to really prove that it works, because I get to see what's coming out of these people's rear ends, okay?
Right.
So if they're on my fiber drink and they're rotating their antifungals and we start seeing coming right through the machine, and by the way, the colonic machine has a window where you can see what's coming out, and it's really not gross. Everybody thinks it's gross. It's not. It's kind of cool. If you're into science and you're into things, it's kind of cool. But anyway, we'll start seeing these mucoidal, long, skinny things start coming through the window, and you will start seeing those. I mean, I'm sure everybody's been up at 2 a.m. and watched some show about take my pills and then you're going to pass all this colon stuff. All this stuff's going to come out of your colon. Like Elvis Presley had 40 pounds in his colon.
I know. I get so frustrated at some of those commercials.
I know. Well, sometimes I actually have had a few clients where those have worked for, but the majority of the people, it usually doesn't work. So it does require kind of a three-pronged approach. You've really got to look at your diet, because if you're eating inflammatory things while you're doing this, it's really, you're going to be defeating your own purpose, right?
Yep.
So you got to look at that. I do alternative things to help people's, I encourage them to do certain things to uphold their immune system while they're going through the detoxification, because as you said, you felt terrible.
Yep.
So there's ways you can help yourself. There really is. I mean, there's oodles and oodles of scientific based evidence about, for instance, something as simple as a coffee enema. You know, in World War II, they used coffee enemas. They used them when they ran out of painkillers because they knew that it was something that actually stopped the pain in people. And they know on the Gerson Institute, Max Gerson proved that glutathione can be increased between 600 and 700% by doing a coffee enema. And we're trying to take supplements that the body really can't use. What you really want to do is have your liver start making more,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Instead of supplementing your liver to take it as a supplement, you want to cause the liver to actually make more. That's the, you know, to me, that's the golden standard. So you have something like coffee enemas. People can utilize that. If you know anybody that does medical ozone, which is ozone therapy, that's another fantastic way to go through pathogen cleansing and candida and fungal cleansing, because it upholds your immune system. It's a painkiller. You can get through work. You can go to work every day feeling normal during your die off. There's a lot of things people can do. And after doing this for many years, and walking people through it, it's all doable, Carl. It's all doable.
I'm actually going to work with you. I just want the audience to know, because I'm really intrigued by this, and I'm really convinced that this is where my problems reside. And, you know,
right.
I probably would have succumbed to these problems had I not lived the lifestyle that I live. I mean, I'm sure that my legs would be completely numb. I would be hobbled. My skin gets red now. That's something I'm starting to notice on my chest.
Carl, can I say a quick thing about that?
Yeah.
If you, just a little thing, let's say you have a wood stove. This would just be an example, a wood stove or even just a child putting their hand, and a child puts their hand on the wood stove when it's hot, or somebody putting their hand on a hot element. And if you look at the hand after it's been burned, it's all red, right?
Yep.
You have to imagine when you get the really red skin on your face that it's a reflection of your GI tract being pretty much seared and in pain from what it's going through. So your face is technically a reflection of your gut.
Well, it's not
so
just the face, it's the whole body. People need to realize that when their guts are in trouble, those toxins end up in the bloodstream.
Yes.
Those toxins move outward to the periphery where the body's trying to get them out, and so moves it to the skin.
Right.
And these things irritate the skin from the inside out. This is a very, very simple.
It does, but it shows inflammation. Basically, a red skin on the face, I look for it. It does show inflammation. The gut is inflamed, definitely.
Yeah, it's something that people need to. All right, so look, we're going to have you back on, obviously, because there's a lot more to cover. But in the meantime,
can I just say one thing really
please.
Quick?
Yes,
please. Okay, you had a guy on your program a few weeks ago, and he was a researcher that was looking at probiotics in the bowel.
Yes,
and he was from Alberta.
Yes,
which I was originally from Canada, which is interesting. But anyway, so he was talking a lot about what they saw in there and what they did not see in there. And he told you near the end that where they were able to reseed the bowel was where there was spaces. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Space. Okay. So go with me on this a little bit. If fungus is taking over your gut and you're out there taking your probiotics and you're doing all these things, but there's no space until you kill the fungus. This is why I was screaming at my radio. I'm listening to this show you're doing and I'm screaming at my radio. So I'm going, you have to create the space. See, candida and fungal issues will not go away. They're going to take that space that your probiotics should be in. They will take that space. And they're not going to give up that space. That's not going to be something that I just changed my diet a little bit and it went away. You have to kill the pathogen.
Right.
You must kill them. They need to be out so that you can then later reseed the gut. So if people say, well, I won't do colonics because colonics is going to, or enemas, it's going to take out my good bacteria. Most of the time with people, I kind of stare at them like, do you really think that you have that? This has always been what people say. You know, I'm going to pull out my good bacteria. Really? You've been on antibiotics, you've been eating refined foods and popping your probiotics thinking that's going to fix you. You're doing all these things. You're drinking barrels of coffee all day. You're under high stress. You're doing all these things. And then you're telling me you don't want to clean out your colon because you think that I'm going to pull out your good bacteria. You're loaded with gut problems, right?
Yep.
So until we actually clean up, we've got to first, it just stands to reason. If you're going to paint your house, you got to take off that old paint.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a classic. You've got to open the space, Carl. Then you're able to recede.
Then you can start receding.
And
I can track the beginning of my gut problems back to late 2008. I had an infection in my gum. It wasn't an abscess, it was an infection. And they gave me a sulfur-based antibiotic to take, and it went away. But while I was taking this antibiotic, now keep in mind, I was training very hard back then. I was eating 6-7 times a day with no problems. I take this antibiotic for my tooth, and within a day, I notice, my God, I'm eating. My food's not working. It's not going through me. I'm bloated. I'm gassy.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, my God, it's like my digestion just stopped.
Right.
So I stopped taking the antibiotic. I took it long enough where the infection did go away. It went away completely. But I didn't take it for the entire duration that they had recommended. But that is when everything started. So after that, I never felt like when I would eat, I would get gassy. I never felt right. I would get bloated. It all can be traced back to that tooth infection, that gum infection.
Yes.
And the introduction of that sulfur-based antibiotic. For me.
But I want to go further back. Further back is you had a tooth problem from the gut. So teeth problems are...
No. You know what I did? No, this is... No. I bit my cheek during my sleep one night. I bit my cheek during my sleep. And it was... And where I bit it, in the buccal area, you know, down low, where the cheek rolls into the gum, it had gotten infected. So that's what it was. It wasn't from my gut. I had bitten my cheek during sleep one night.
Okay, but you know where I'm going to go with that even. So it got infected. Why, right? So, and the thing is that anytime a doctor thinks there might be an infection or possible anything, they won't even send you out of an ER without drugs because they have to cover themselves, right?
Right.
So you're going to get an antibiotic no matter what. And most people are scared. You know, they're like, I need to see the doctor. It's just unfortunate that so many times they don't first say, I wonder what we could do with this naturally. I wonder what we could do. Because, yeah, those fluoroquines, those certain antibiotics these last 10 years, man, they're deadly.
Yeah.
I mean,
they destroy
really
your stomach.
Deadly.
They destroy your stomach. Listen, we have to pull the
plug.
And
even worse, most of them have fluoride in them. So it just goes further. I mean, there's story after story I could tell you, but anyway.
All right, look, we're going to have you back on. I'm going to work with you, so we'll give progress updates as we go on. In the meantime, if you think you need help, go to the website nethersprings.com and reach out to Wendy McPhail. Wendy, thank you for reaching out to me, and thank you for being on the
I'm
show.
Hey, I'm glad
tonight.
That you read it.
It was great. Thank you so much.
All right.
We also want to thank Dr. Jeff Gallini. If you have any questions for him, go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ask the Scientist banner ad and send them your questions. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.